Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW. Welcome to this episode of Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW. I'm Jonathan Tilley, and today on the podcast, we've got a special guest for you, none other than pro kite surfer Roderick Pelz. He's been one of the best in the world for years. He's actually more in the ocean than on land. And he uses his love of kite surfing to not only make some serious waves in his sport, but also to draw attention to the vulnerability of nature, which is really important. I mean, you could say that the ocean is his playground. So we're going to be talking about his extensive kite surfing career, why his perspective on the water is important to hear all about sustainability, and what he brings to the table as a BMW ambassador. Roderick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Awesome.
So, Roderick, for the people that that are listening in today who, I don't know how they don't know about you, why don't you give us a little bit of info and introduce yourself?
So my name is Roderick Pelz. I'm lucky as to say that I'm a professional kitesurfer. So actually I turned from my sport, my passion, into my profession, if you can say like that. I'm a guy that enjoys life, that competes in the World Cup competitions from kitesurfing. I'm trying to break my own boundaries in my sporting career to become the better version of myself. And with that, with exercising my sport, I'm trying to motivate, inspire, and to tell a story to the people to be a bit conscious about nature, about life, about themselves, and about making the right decisions.
Yeah, yeah. It's fascinating to speak with somebody like you who has turned their passion into their sport and their profession and be able to be, you know, the sounding board to say, hey, listen, this is what's going on, and not just, you know, lay back and win all those things, the championships, which is hard enough, but also, like you said, the motivation to bring it out there. So if you were to just describe yourself in only three words, what would those three words be?
I think that's always such a difficult question.
It's tricky,
it's
right?
It's tricky, yeah. Okay, so I think I'm definitely a positive person. I just don't really like to always, I just like to see things on the bright side of life. Just always keep it positive. Next to that, I think I'm an adventurous person. So I like challenges. I like to see obstacles as chances. And yeah, sportive, of course, but that's, I think, logical. So I'll leave that one out. And I would choose for conscious. So I'll try to make conscious decisions on everything, actually, in my sporting career, but also in life, about nature. So yeah, positive, adventurous, and conscious.
Perfect. There we go. I mean, that totally wraps up who you are, you know, and I'm so excited for our podcast listeners to learn more about you and also how these three words really describe you. Now, as I mentioned a minute ago, you're truly more in the ocean than on land. So that's amazing to me. I love the ocean. So what is your relationship with the ocean? How would you describe it?
So I started... When I was younger, I didn't do any kitesurfing. I was playing field hockey. I was just like on the track all the time. And then I discovered kiting. And actually nowadays, everything I know, everything I do is because of the ocean. I exercise my sport in the ocean. It's also like my sanctuary. So where I go to relax and to forget everything. So actually everything I know is thanks to the ocean. The place where I live, the way how I live, like what I eat, what I drink, how I think about nature, it's actually all because of the ocean. So yeah, I would say I have like a pretty deep relationship with the ocean. It's pretty I like it, actually. It's something, there's so much to discover about the ocean, you know. It's amazing.
You know, the ocean makes up 2/3 of the entire world, you know, so you're on a part of the planet that most of the people in the most of the population aren't even on. Maybe they'll dip their feet in the sea, or maybe you know, go swimming. But you have this insane relationship with the ocean, with the water. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and somehow, like, to be really honest, I'm just sitting looking out of the ocean right now. while recording the podcast.
Nice.
And like, the thing is, you can see the ocean, but underneath the surface of the ocean, there's like an entire new world that we just, I think, we don't know. We might only know like 10% of what's actually underwater. And that's something so mysterious that, I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. There's so much more below the surface.
Yeah. 100%. Wow.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, you're not only an amazing kite surfer and also a poet describing your relationship with the ocean, but you're also like an awesome video content creator. Like you've got a fantastic YouTube channel. Like it's great.
Thanks.
And each video I'm watching it and you're on the ocean kite surfing and I feel like I'm with you and you make it look ridiculously easy, although I know it's not. And so in your videos... I mean, you often say, and you even said it before when you were introducing yourself, you want to become a better version of yourself. So where does that motivation come from? Where does that drive come from?
So actually, I think that all starts from being a sportsman from the very first start. Mm-hmm. Because as an athlete, you just always want to be better than yesterday.
Yeah.
You just want to see improvement. You want to... Like if you like on Monday you can do a certain trick and on Wednesday you're not able to do that trick anymore, then that's pretty harsh as an athlete, I can say. So you always want to improve yourself. You always want to get better. You want to improve more style or whatever. And I think I just kept on learning and pushing that and taking that with me in my entire life. So I'm just a person that's really eager to learn and, I just want to learn more about my sport every day, but also about myself, about life, about my personality, about different cultures. So I think I'm just an eager person that's eager to learn in all aspects of life, I guess.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, in any sport or in anything that you do, any skills that you're learning, you always want to be better than you were before.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah. Because, it's pretty... harsh. Like, for example, if you're a marathon runner and on marathon number one, you're able to run like 2 hours, and in the third marathon, you're able to run like 3 hours, then that's not really motivating if you're like an athlete. So I think that's the big bang, if you can say it like that, to always become a better version of yourself.
Yeah. All right. So for an absolute newbie like me, what would be one tip that you could give me if I wanted to learn how to kite surf today?
So like at first, I would always say, go and get a lesson. Just don't buy something on eBay or wherever. And you're like, oh, I'm going to watch a YouTube tutorial. I'm just going to try it myself. Just really like seriously go get a lesson because there's a couple of basic stuff that you just really need to know because everybody's saying it's an extreme sport. Yeah, it is an extreme sport. But if you know the rules, if you know all the safeties, then actually it's pretty safe. But if you don't know, then you can hurt yourself pretty bad. So I would just really recommend get a lesson, learn the safeties. Don't rush over the safety lessons, but just really let it sink in because I've seen some horrible accidents happening and it's just mainly people that didn't have any lessons and that's what you want to avoid.
Exactly
Yeah.
In driving and in kite surfing, safety first.
Exactly. 100%.
So you've had so many great successes. I'm already in your kite surfing career and you're only what, 29?
Yeah.
29 years old?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
You've competed in the freestyle discipline for many years and then you switched to wave riding and did several world tour competitions in that discipline.
Yeah.
And there are so many more competitions out there for you to tackle. So out of all of those amazing experiences that you've already had, what was the biggest highlight of your kite surfing career?
Yeah.
Or is there one?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, I got many, many, many. But if you ask me that now, so normally if you ask such a question to a random professional athlete, they would always say, I won Olympics or I become first on a world tour. But there's so many little steps in between to reach that ultimate goal. So I wouldn't say If you're asking me what's your most amazing experience, I don't want to say one of my results in competition, but I remember one session we were in Mauritius, and we were just out there like with two or three other guys. We were like all friends, just all by ourselves in such a great big ocean. And all of a sudden we saw like a big spray in the middle of the ocean. So we're like, whoa, what's that? So we went there and we just saw like a whale with her calf swimming there. And we were just like, wow, riding next to a whale and a calf. And they were like going up and down and up and down. We were like, I think we followed them for like 10, 15 minutes. And I think that was one of those experiences that you're like, yo, I'm just actually not watching nature, but I'm like really like in nature at that moment. And that was that was such an incredible moment. You're like, okay, I'm going to stop my session right now. I had the best experience that I'm going to get today. it's done. So I think that was of the most amazing experience. Yeah. Such a big creature.
Yeah. I love how this is your answer, because I was hoping it would be something like this.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, everybody would be like this championship or this, but it's the experience out there.
100%.
And you're saying the relationship with nature, it's so intimate. It's something that we as normal people would never even imagine could be possible. So that's such a great answer. And my next question was going to be, since this is a podcast and we can't see what you do, how would you describe it? But I mean, you just described going out there and kite surfing with a whale and her baby calf.
Yeah.
And that's
like
amazing.
Coming up, floating, turning on the back, and you just like, you have like eye contact with the calf and the mother whale, and you're like, oh my, this is unnatural. It's so cool.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
I get goosebumps again if I just talk about it, because it's such an experience.
Well, speaking about goosebumps, there's something that you did that gave me a little bit of goosebumps when I read about it. In Tanzania, you kite surfed over Lake Natron. Natron?
Yeah, Natron. Yeah.
Natron, I was right. Lake Natron. And this is a 60-degree hot lake that is also poisonous.
Yeah.
That gave me goosebumps, right? This is totally incredible. And this project in Tanzania was also called In Search of Incredibles. So what made that project so incredible? I mean, other than the piping hot lake full of poison.
Yeah. Well, good described, actually. Like, for sure, just the session being out there on such a difficult next level lake. I think the session wasn't that difficult. It's just like, for me, kiting is just like riding a bike or just walking.
Mm.
So everyone can walk on a pavement, but just put that pavement 30 meters high and let that person walk again on that same pavement, then it's pretty scary. So I think that was also the sort of scariness about it, because I knew I'm easily able to ride this lake because it's nothing difficult and it's just riding. But yeah, there's a lot of consequences if it goes wrong. But I think what the trip makes so special was that it's so outside my comfort zone. Normally I just go to a place and then the trip starts with that session, but now it already started when we started our journey to that lake, because we were like with a photographer and a filmer, like three guys from the concrete jungle, you could say, like city guys, and we were like driving in the African whatever, like jungle, and we were driving there. We saw Jurassic Park next, or not Jurassic Park, but I mean like the Lion King. We saw like elephants, lions, hyenas, and we were just sleeping in tents. And then our guide said, well, if you see green eyes reflecting in the lights that you have, like in your torch, then it's like, for example, a zebra or an impala. So that's safe. But if you're going to see orange or red eyes, then those are predators. So you're talking about like a hyena or like a lion, then I could only see blinking orange and red lights. It was like,
No.
I was like, man, what are we doing here? So we were sleeping in a tent.
Yeah.
And then I think that trip already started when we left to that lake, when we started driving to that lake. So that was pretty intense. Just being out there on that poisonous lake, with seeing a lot of skeletons, bones in the water from zebras that just, I don't know, they got stuck in the mud and then the water came up, or I don't know what happened. I don't even want to know what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was quite of a mission, to be really honest. And
wow.
But it's just, it's the same with doing a competition. In one moment, you're like in a complete zone. You're like in such a focus and you don't hear anything anymore. You don't listen anymore. So the cameraman was always asking me, hey, can you do this one more time? And I just, well, apparently I didn't respond to him because it also didn't hear him, because you're like in such a focus zone. So yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
And incredible, to say the least, and dangerous as well.
Yeah. It was really sick. Yeah, I just called my mom when it finished. I said, Mom, okay, I made it.
I'm alive.
Yeah. She was happy when she received my call.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, what's the next incredible challenge that's on your list to tackle? What's coming up next?
So I really want to go to Greenland, actually.
Yeah.
Because, you've been hearing it probably, there's with climate change, there's a lot of melting ice caps, and you got like these immense big glaciers, and there's like really big icebergs calving off. So they're going to float in a pitch black ocean. So you imagine a pitch black ocean with a white iceberg on top that starts melting.
Wow.
And on top of that white iceberg, there's a blue lagoon starting to form because of the meltwater. So the plan is to kite on top of that.
Wow.
And then, yeah, just to make visible that nature has so much to offer, you know? We got so much, nature has so much to offer that we still don't know about. So I just really want to bring that into perspective and make that visible, to make people think about their decisions and be a bit more conscious about life and about what we're able to lose if we don't think about that, actually. Because if we don't think about it, then we're just going to lose all this beauty that nature has to offer.
What I absolutely love about what you just said about kite surfing on the lagoon from the meltwater on the white iceberg in the Black Sea. Already I'm getting like images of what this is going to be like, right?
Yeah.
And you could just do your pro thing and you know, do championships and competitions, but you're also, this is what I absolutely find fascinating, you're also use your passion and your sport to put yourself as the lead character in these amazing situations like you just described, and we have a visual of what's actually going on, right? Which is so cool. And I didn't know about this, right? This is the unknown. And you have a really interesting relationship with the unknown. I mean, you were talking about Greenland, talking about the volcanic crater in Iceland that you kited, between ice flows under the Northern Lights and, like we said, in Tanzania on a hot and poisonous lake. So most people would have a fear of the unknown, but you seem to look forward to it. I mean, even the second word you used to describe yourself was adventurous. So do you also fear the unknown like the rest of the world, or what does the unknown mean to you?
Yeah, so honestly, I actually really embrace the unknown, and that might sound weird because I think it's something spectacular to make an uncomfortable feeling comfortable again, because it might feel scary or awkward in the beginning, but it gives such an adrenaline rush. Like once you nailed it or once you dialed it in, you're like, yo, I just made it. So yeah, I just like to put myself into uncomfortable situations and make that situation comfortable again.
Yeah.
So I don't really fear, I don't really dread the unknown, but I try to embrace it because I think you're always going to get unknown situations that you're not familiar with. And I think, to be as flexible as possible, you need to embrace the unknown as good and as often, which might be scary or awkward in the beginning, but
Yeah,
it's this just like a really thin line about getting the most amazing adrenaline rush in your life or getting the biggest beating in life that you ever had. And just riding on that super thin line is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. So for the people that who will probably never kite surf all over the world like you, but who may fear change in their everyday life, I mean, listening to your stories, it's so inspiring. I'm totally inspired as well. So what would you say to the people out there that fear change?
That fear change. So nothing is really certain in life, is it? Except change, because there's always going to be a change in your life. You're going to grow older, your relationship is going to end. You need to move your house, whatever. Everything is ending, I would say. So you better just accept it, embrace it, instead of trying to fight it and dread it.
Mm.
Yeah, accept change, because you're not going to be able to avoid it, I guess. So just accept it. Try to make it comfortable. Try to find your own way in it and enjoy it, because like change is also going to bring you new perspectives and new chances,
yeah,
I guess.
And the more you lean into it, the more opportunities you can have to go to Greenland, and you see where the unknown is and you go towards it with a different mentality and not fearing it as much.
Yeah, I think it's also all about the mindset, you know, get your mindset to it and for sure you're going to be able to rock it.
Yeah.
Enjoy the ride.
Yeah, exactly, right? We've been speaking about it and I've been holding off, and I'm really excited to dive on into this topic with you, and that is sustainability. And, you know, for someone who spends so much time in the ocean, you, like we said before, you kite surfing with the whale and its calf, and you see firsthand how important nature is not only to kite surfing, but also for us to survive on the planet, like you said, with Greenland and that amazing and tragic iceberg. So as an athlete who works with so many factors like the water, the wind, the waves, the rain, with so many different conditions that you have zero control over, how difficult is it to do what you do out there?
So, every time I go out for a session, whether it is just in the Netherlands or whether it is in Mauritius or on a poisonous lake or in a volcano crater, I just always try to prepare myself as good as possible. If I just go out for a training session, I need less preparation because it's more in my comfort zone. But if I go on a location where no one else ever kited in, I just always try to prepare myself as good as possible. I try to get like at least two or three exit locations. So if it goes wrong, I can go there or I have a second exit option, etc. So I seriously make like an Excel sheet where I put the possible dangers with one, two, or three solutions for each danger. So I really try to prepare myself as good as possible. But every time I do that, it turns out to be completely different than how I planned it to be. So the thing about that is just try to be as flexible as possible and just to really be in that moment, forget everything else, just be in that moment and be as creative as possible to find solutions for problems that occur on that moment, because you can prepare yourself as good as possible. But if it turns out completely the other way around, then, well, you just need to accept the change again, the unknown, and be super creative.
Yeah, totally.
If it's difficult, I don't really think it's difficult. It's just you need to be really creative at that moment and you're in a certain focus zone again. So you actually don't really have time to think, oh, this is pretty difficult. But you're like, okay, how can I act like one, two, three?
Exactly. Now, since you're out there much more than the rest of the world, like I keep on saying, do you notice after 15 years of kite surfing that climate change is happening before your eyes when you're out in the water? And with your special perspective, if you weren't out on the water so much, do you think you would notice that shift?
So, yeah, I do see actually climate change happening right in front of me. That was, for example, in Indonesia, that was my turning point. But I think if I wasn't out there in the water that much as I was now, then I would still not really be so much in love with the elements as I'm right now. Before I had to bike to primary school or to high school, and I always hated the wind or the rain. I was like, oh man, the wind is always against me. I never had the wind from the back or whatever. I was always like, ah, why?
Yeah.
So my love definitely changed.
And it's so funny because you said that you make decisions very consciously. Now, My question is, you even said in one of the three words that describe you, positive, adventurous, conscious. So this is, I want to go deeper into this. So what do you mean by that? Is it only when it comes to weather conditions? Is it in your life in general? Does it have to do with the environment? What do you mean by that you make your decisions very consciously, especially when you say you have to plan everything A, B, C, D, E, just in case the weather conditions are different? So it's planning, but it's also consciousness, isn't it? It's making your decisions with mindfulness.
Yeah. And I try to bring that into daily life, not only into kite surfing or whatever, but really into daily life. Because like I noticed that we can always point our fingers to big institutions or to whatever, like, no, they have to start first with being conscious about life or about nature. But actually, if we as individuals become more conscious, think about our own decisions, we can change the demand towards the big industries. And eventually they are going to think like, okay, well, we actually really need to change because otherwise nobody's going to work with us anymore. Yeah. So I really try to implement it into my daily life. For example, going to the supermarket, why should I always buy a plastic bag? Why don't I just bring my own bag and just put it in there? Like all these super small decisions or these super small conscious decisions, it's really easy, but yeah, you just have to change your mindset about it. And like, I'm not going to be the person that's going to say, you need to do this, you need to do that. I don't think that's my position. And I don't want to be that kind of person. I just want to give people tools to think about it so they can like, oh, well, maybe that's a pretty easy way to change or a pretty easy thing to change. And maybe I'll just, yeah, help Mother Nature with that. Like, I'm not going to say that people have to be vegan or vegetarian, not at all. But why should we eat 2 times a day meat or fish? And why don't we just look like to vegetarian options? Because sometimes I cook for my friends, for my family, and I make a vegetarian dish and they're like, whoa, this chicken is actually really nice. And I'm like, there's no chicken inside. And I'm like, no, it's like, it's pretty easy, but it's just a mindset that we need to change. And that's about everything. It's not about just about plastic bags or about food. It's also about, why don't we just take the bike or why don't we just carpool? Because if you're in a traffic jam, every car is just with one person. Why don't we just like, hey, colleague, do you want to carpool with me or whatever? Like all these small things, I think that's, it's pretty easy, but you just need to do it. And I don't want to be that person finger pointing, but yeah, you just need to make your own decisions. I just want to give people tools. If that sort of makes sense, what I'm saying.
100%. There's something that you do, and I rarely say this, but you truly do it. You humanize everything that you believe in. For example, with kite surfing, being out on the ocean and bringing awareness and your tools to dealing with the environment. You humanize the idea of making decisions that are conscious decisions, not pointing the finger, but saying, this is how I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Do you want to learn along? Do you want to be a part of my journey? And by humanizing it, it makes it so much more emphatic. It makes us want to listen more instead of being told what to do, that everybody has their own options. I mean, like I said before, just you being out on the water, you bring this awareness to the beauty of nature just by immersing yourself in it and humanizing it. But you also bring awareness to the danger that nature is currently in, right? So
yeah,
with the way that you humanize the environment and the danger that nature is currently in, what do you want to achieve with your projects and actions moving forward?
I just really want to inspire people about the beauty of nature. I just want to try to flip the medal. So instead of always showing the negative side of climate change, like, oh, there's another tanker grounded on the beautiful reef of Mauritius, or the sea level is rising with 2 centimeters, or if I'm going to put all these quantitative analysis and data outside in the world, I think it's too far from your bed show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't really realize it. So I just want to try to flip that coin and I want to show the people how beautiful the nature is and how much she has to offer to us. But that in combination with her vulnerability, so that we just have to take care for her. Otherwise, we're just going to lose all this beauty that she has to offer. So that's actually my goal that I'm trying to do. And with changing that negative story into a positive story, I think that message is way stronger than yelling to the world again into a negative message. I think it's way stronger if we bring something into a positive vibe.
Yeah, most
so definitely. Actually, that's what I'm trying to achieve. Yeah.
Awesome. So with this non-negative way of flipping the coin and making it positive, so in your mind, where do you see our world, our planet, Mother Earth in the future?
So, yeah, well, I'm a positive person, and I think we as humans are really flexible. We can adapt ourselves really quickly to changes, as we've seen in the past. So I do 100% believe that we can still change the tide, and that we can still, well, change our own mindset with that, changing climate change and still be positive for the future. But I think we just really have to act now and not just keep finger pointing to the rest of the world, but just, yeah, be true to yourself. Let me say it like that. Be true to yourself, listen to yourself, and don't always think about yourself, but also sometimes think about nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm pretty positive.
Yeah, I can tell. And, you know, what do you think that we, the normal people of the world that aren't out there on the water as much as you are, what can we do to help the environment? I mean, you said a couple of things, carpool, use less plastic bags. You know, are you optimistic that we can help save the planet?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. And I'm not going to be the person saying that we all have to live in a forest, completely off grid without anything, but if we just all make these conscious decisions, for sure we all have our own impact. And yeah, we just have to make small changes into our lives. Or maybe it is not even a change, it's just a mindset. Because if you become a vegetarian, well, you're still going to be eating 3 or 4 meals a day, but you're just going to eat something different. And in my opinion, it's not a change, it's just an opportunity to learn how to cook new dishes. And yeah, just if we all think like that, then we all have our own benefit on helping save the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's the, like you said, the mindset shift. It's the trying something else, the unknown, fear of the unknown. Just try something. See what opens up. The only thing that's constant is change. Yeah. So like, let's just see what options are out there.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So true.
Yeah. Yeah. So for the protest green up mission, I know this is a hard switch, but like stay with me here because this has to do with sustainability, but this boggles my mind for the people that are listening and that have not heard about what you did. Okay. So for the protest green up mission, you and your team, you sailed 60 hours nonstop on the open ocean to travel green while getting seasick along the way. And then you got on a train that was powered by electricity. Then you got into an electric car to travel a total of 8 days to Lofoten to see the Northern Lights and kite surf there. I mean, most people would hop in a plane and get there as fast as they could without thinking about their carbon footprint, but not you. So why was traveling green for this project so important to you?
I think what I said before, we can always keep finger pointing to other people, but you have to start with yourself and you have to start yourself. So, and it has to be an intrinsic motivation. And that's also why it's so important for me, because I don't want to be the person saying you have to do this and you have to do that, but then I'm myself not doing anything about it. So I just wanted to show that it is possible to travel like that as well. And I must say, I actually really enjoyed it. I felt like a little Columbus because what you said, normally you're like on a plane and in 2 hours you're already in Lofoten. But I started realizing how big our planet is with traveling on a carbon-free footprint, because you're like sailing for 60 hours and then on a train and on an electric car. And you're like, well, I could also just hop in a plane and be there in 2 hours. But now you're like 8 full days traveling and, well, you really realize, okay, Mother Nature is pretty big. She's actually, the Earth is really big. And I felt like a little Columbus. I really enjoyed it, to be honest. And it has to be an intrinsic motivation to really be conscious about nature. It shouldn't be like an extrinsic motivation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you're traveling the world a lot. Is it always 100% green? So how do you get from A to B, especially when you travel with 3 or more board bags?
Yeah. That's quite of a mission always. So I just really try to be conscious, and I'm saying, like, I cannot 100% say that I'm always traveling carbon free, because that's almost impossible nowadays, especially with having to be at several locations back to back. Then you can't always just take 8 days to get somewhere. So I'm just really trying to do my utmost, to do my really best to travel as green as possible. But it's just not always possible yet. So I just try to make those decisions. And wherever I can, I always try to drive on an electric car to those location. And if that's not possible, well, then, yeah, I'll just have to accept that. And the airways, they also give you a lot of options to buy your CO2 reduction and all that kind of stuff. So I try to do that. But, yeah, that's the, at least as far as I know, the best thing I can do now. So if there's anyone out there who has better tips, give it to me, because I'm really open for that. But yeah, that's what I try for now. Yeah.
Yeah. And that circles back to, you know, making decisions consciously, you know, and electric driving, it's a carbon-free footprint. It's getting us closer to that goal. So especially for somebody like you that prefers electric driving and how electric driving plays an important factor in preserving nature, do you, from your perspective, do you see any parallels between electric driving and kiting?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
It's because, like, there's so much energy in the wind. Mm-hmm. You cannot see the wind. Well, you can see electricity, but normally you won't really see it. So, but there's so much energy in that wind. So if you're like kiting on the water and you're like far, far out in the ocean, there's so much energy going on in the water, but also in the wind. And it's something spectacular, to be really honest. Yeah. And I've been driving for a while now in an electric car, and acceleration is pretty fun.
It's fun, isn't it?
I can tell. Yeah. So, and that's also with kiting, there's also a lot of fun going on and a lot of adrenaline. So for sure, there's so many parallels. And also with charging the battery, you can do it like solar, you can do wind energy. So there's so many parallels. And for sure, I do see many parallels. Yeah.
Yeah. Fabulous. Yeah. And as a BMW ambassador, why is BMW the right partner for you to realize this mission that you have?
So I said before that I don't want to be the guy that's finger pointing to do this, do that. But I think we as individuals, we can change the demand to big industries. But next to that, I also think that brands that I use, they also need to make conscious decisions about how they do business. And as BMW, as being the most sustainable carbon by the Dow Jones index, I think it's really important to really work with these kind of brands and to really create a synergy and to really show that it can come from both sides. You know, it's not just only from the big industries, or it shouldn't only come from the individuals, but if we just embrace our hands and we work together, man, there's so many possibilities that we can create. And that's why I just really like to work with BMW. Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you on board.
Thanks. Thanks.
You know, and speaking about BMW, I interviewed Dr. Irina Feige about sustainability and the circular economy. Now, circular economy means creating cars from materials that are more environmentally friendly. And when a car is on its last leg, how to recycle and repurpose all of its materials in a better way. And 2030 is going to be a big year where the whole world is working towards having a more sustainable planet. So what's your take on the circular economy from your perspective?
I think that's something that we cannot deny anymore. Mm-hmm. Like all those single used items, that's such a waste, really.
It doesn't make sense anymore, right?
It doesn't make sense at all. Like, why should we produce something, use it one time, and then just throw it in a bin? Yeah. Like, seriously? So yeah, I think circular economy is the only option that we have right now to improve, to accelerate, and to save our planet.
Yeah.
So, and that's also something that BMW is really implementing. And it's also something that I really appreciate, that like they don't just make ours, but they also reuse everything. And that's something, yeah, that's something amazing. That's not many brands do that. And that's something that you really need to, embrace and protect. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think you said, you know, with making conscious decisions, and I think the way that you said, like, come on, really, guys, like, it's 2021, you know, it's time for the, you know, one use plastic bags. Like, that's not cool anymore.
No,
you know?
No.
And once you get into that mind frame, you know, like, when was it, like, smoking was cool in the 50s? Like, come on, guys, yeah, it's 2021. Yeah. Your mentality of, like, it's 2021, like, circular economy, get on board, you know, get into it.
Yeah.
I think this mentality and you being able to humanize this mentality is really great. So one last question, and I want to circle back to your road trip that took 8 days where you traveled green.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so inspiring and creative, and I absolutely loved watching that video that you did. So what would be the best case scenario in your mind for the future of e-mobility? You said Mother Nature, the planet, she's huge. So what would be the best case scenario in your mind for the future of e-mobility?
So I think we got, like, what I said, there's so many parallels between kiting and electric driving. Mother Nature has so much energy in ourselves. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in 4 meter waves, but I can tell you there's a lot of energy in water. And I don't know if you've ever been in a storm of like 30, 40 knots, but you can barely just stand on the beach. So there's also so much energy in the wind. And if we just, so that means that Mother Nature is just giving that nature or that energy free to us. So why don't we just use it instead of just letting it go and destroying Mother Nature with creating our own energy? Why don't we just stop fighting against Mother Nature, and why don't we just help and work with her elements that she's using? So I think that we should just really focus on those kind of energy sources and just use the elements that Mother Nature is giving us for free. So I think that's 100%, like, I don't think, but I almost know certainly that that's the future of e-mobility. Just use the elements of Mother Nature, and let's just be conscious about the decisions that we take. Like, next to that, I also don't want to finger point anything, but isn't it a bit weird that we're still driving something that's hurting Mother Nature if we can also just drive something that doesn't hurt Mother Nature? Isn't that just like middle age, if I can say like that? I don't want to be the guru that's going to be saying that, but that's just a little bit my perspective and how I think about it.
Yeah, so, of course. It's something to think about, most definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I must admit, the three descriptive words that you said at the beginning of the podcast, positive, adventurous, and conscious, are most definitely fitting to you.
Thanks.
You're harnessing the power of water and wind. I mean, dude, you're riding next to a whale with a calf and calling that your most memorable experience out on the water. And what you said of watching nature, but also being in nature, and you're truly changing the tide and changing our mindsets on how to act now by humanizing what you do and showing the rest of the world how beautiful nature is, how beautiful nature can be, and if we act accordingly, how beautiful nature will be in the future by being an inspiration that we need to see to live a more environmentally friendly life. Roderick, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
And thank you to our podcast listeners for listening to this episode of Changing Lanes, where Roderick and I talked about kitesurfing, sustainability, and how he makes a positive impact on the world. I most definitely am inspired. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you subscribe to our podcast for future episodes. And to dive even deeper into all things BMW, head on over to BMW.com to learn more. I'm Jonathan Tilley, and this has been Changing Lanes. See you next time. We'll be right back.